We generally think that we're not biased against the handicapped or those mentally challenged, but actually our bias, our subconscious bias, is the greatest for any group. It's greater than sex or race or age. And you could take a test for yourself. Harvard has a good website, Implicit Association Test. We just seem to, and I understand it, associate being handicapped with something bad, to be afflicted, to be doomed. We normally don't think of it as being touched or gifted. But here are some of the historic figures that had autistic tendencies, thought to be autistic. Einstein, Newton, Mozart, Michelangelo, Darwin, Emily Dickinson, Thomas Jefferson, Hans Christian Andersen. Those with known learning disabilities that really had a problem being schooled. George Washington, Alexander Graham Bell, Thomas Edison, Walt Disney, and of course, a long list of blind. Homer, Iliad and Odyssey, Milton, Ray Charles, Huxley, Euler, all these people brought a special light to the world. We like to think of ourselves as open-minded and not prudish, and I think we're pretty loose with the Sabbath, some of us. So I'm going to tell you a story to disorient you a little bit, like Jesus did in the gospel, to reorient you. My grandfather was quite a character. He was a cowboy in the Old West. He was turned down for the Spanish-American War because of his eyesight. He was a vaudeville performer, and for most of his life, he was blind. He was the best musician that I've ever heard, and he played the meanest harmonica I've ever listened to. Groups of people would come to the house just to hear him play. And when he went to a tavern to play, everything just shut down. When my mom and dad were starting out in life, they lived outside of Chicago in a small farm. The suburbs hadn't been built yet. It was right after World War II. And they had the 8 kids downstairs, and Grandma and Grandpa, they lived upstairs. And Grandpa went out every morning and came back every night, and nobody really knew where he went, nor nobody asked where he went. Well, my dad worked for the telephone company, and he was on a telephone pole in the city of Chicago and watches my grandpa get off a city bus and walk directly into a house of burlesque. So my dad was shocked. He runs down from the telephone pole into the house of burlesque and says, "Grandpa, this is a house of burlesque. You shouldn't be here." And so my grandfather says, "Charlie, they like me here, and I like to be here, and I'm blind. What harm is it going to do? You, on the other hand, are married to my daughter, and you shouldn't be here." So I've analyzed this story upside down and sideways, and there's details that I left out. And I've looked at it as a Catholic Church to ask us to look at it subjectively, objectively, and through the circumstances, and my grandfather did nothing wrong. Then I said, would Christ be among these people? And I think the scriptural evidence on that is clear. Absolutely, yes. And Christ, like my grandfather, would act only in kindness. Christ shows purpose in every handicap and gift that we have. The works of God are made visible through both. Reading today's gospel, we saw that the blind man posed a scandal. He was expelled from the synagogue for Jesus. In Lent, we bear the scandal of the cross. The blind man had a great faith for a Savior he did not see. We too rever Christ, not for what we've seen, but what we've done, what he's done for us. But still, I know myself. I know we judge by appearance. I've even counted on that in my life. When I was a young man, as today, I wasn't particularly handsome or pretty or anything like that. And when I went into a store, it was really hard to get people to wait on me and work with me. So what I would do is I'd dress down, and I had a clerk follow me all over that store until I left. So when we have those biases step in, and some biases are good. If there's a guy with a gun out in the street, I'm going to be pretty biased against it. But if we let those biases control us, we lose the Davids in our midst. We have to look past the appearances into a person's heart. G.K. Chesterton, a great British Catholic philosopher of the early 20th century, described what a saint was. A saint will be found restoring to the world sanity by exaggerating whatever the world neglects. He is not what the people may want, but rather what the people need. The blind man was like a saint. If you listen to Miss Blythe when we did the gospel, most of the lines were her. The blind man was speaking for God. And the blind man had what the Jewish people really needed. They may not have known it yet. So I think this parish, we are very blessed. Being named after St. Francis of Assisi and having St. Francis of Assisi as our patron brings us the piety that we need. And I think in our hearts we do seek. I'm no Einstein. What glory to God am I? What's special about me? Look at it a little bit different. In human weakness, the greatness of the good news shines through. For me, it's easiest to talk about the gospel message of love in jail. And the reason for that is piety is so easily achieved. Indeed, it's thrust upon those guys. But there the devil is at bay, and there's little gap to Christ's outstretched hand to these guys. And the complexity of our day-to-day life in society makes that distance a bit farther. We also have to realize that God takes and loves us wherever he finds us, so his light can shine through us. Not for what he'd like us to be, not for where he'd like us to be. And I think that Father last week talked about that very well in the story of the Samaritan woman, how Jesus told the Samaritan woman everything about her, and still Jesus loved and filled her with happiness right where she was, right for who she was. Did my grandfather's wonderful humanity shine through in a house of burlesque? Yes, it did. Emerging from our blindness is a process. Rest assured that God has patience, and we should have patience too. Paraphrasing Pope Francis's reflections on the readings today, the children of light behave with humility, patience, and mercy, not pride and arrogance like doctors of the law. Many times, a good act, like my grandfather's, provokes gossip from people who do not want to know the truth. So like my grandfather, and like that philosopher Chesterton, deflect evil with humor, dialogue rationally. There was a greater miracle in the gospel today than having physical sight. And that was the blind man's gift of faith, the gift of faith which he put into practice. Emerging from his blindness, unlike the learned, he gained faith that Christ was the Messiah, and he valued that more than anything else. When he allowed himself to be kicked out of the synagogue, what also was happening was he was being kicked out of his family. He was being kicked out from all his friends, and he was being kicked out of the nations. And he let it all go for Christ. My blind grandfather taught my dad and me how to see. He also taught us how to laugh and how the heart can sing. I know my grandfather, at the end, was very lonely. He'd outlived all his friends. And he explained to me what the difference between young and old are. He said, when you're old, the days last so long, and the years pass so fast. And it was the opposite for the young. But he completed his mission for me. He brought the light of Christ in me. He instilled that in me. I pray that he and the other faithful departed see the light of God's face in God's presence.